Getting y'all up, getting y'all going on a beautiful Saturday morning. Jennifer's talking about her farm tours out in Buckeye and Goodyear. Romy's out at the annual tree climbing championship, the Arizona Community Tree Council, and we're going to get y'all outdoors. I want to talk to y'all about a festival we've got coming up right now. We have a special guest in studio from the Arizona Game and Fish Department, just happens to be one of my favorite state agencies, Mr. Darren Julian, the Urban Wildlife Specialist. Good morning. Thanks for coming in this morning, man.
Good morning, Romy. Sorry, Rosie. That's all right. You said Romy, and I usually cock to Romy all the time. But good morning, Rosie, and thank you for having me. But it's a pleasure to finally come in studio and meet with you.
Well, I wanted to bring you in because I'm on an advisory council of a particular group called Wildlife for Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're a group of guys and gals that are committed to making sure everyone in the future has the opportunity to experience the great outdoor wildlife experience that Arizona represents. And one of the programs that we got involved with years ago was the Tres Rios Nature Festival. Why don't you just talk about what Tres Rios is, and then I want to get into the festival, which is next weekend, right?
Yes, next weekend, March 4th and 5th. But Tres Rios, Spanish for three rivers, where the Gila River, the Salt River, comes in and joins the Gila, and just a mile down from that is where the Agua Fria comes in and joins it, and they all become the Gila River that flows into the Colorado River. So right down there in Avondale, right just north of PIR, Phoenix International Raceway is where the Tres Rios area is in the Phoenix area.
And we've gone in there and kind of we've let it go wild, but we've domesticated it enough to make it an easy encounter for lots of different wildlife.
Right. Just a few years ago, there was a very large project, Tres Rios project, where they went in and they cleared a lot of the salt cedar, the invasive species, out of there, recreated the channel through there, more natural channels, actually did some planting of cottonwood and willows, and bringing it back more to a natural state. And the interesting part of this area of Tres Rios is the Arizona Game and Fish Department has a wildlife area there called Basin Meridian Wildlife Area. And the greatest good thing about this area of the river, it's what they call a gaining reach of the Salt River or Gila River. So the water is forced to the surface, whereas, you know, most of the flows in the Salt River year-round are underground.
So
it's amazing because there's always water there. And once you have water in a desert area, you imagine the things that it attracts.
Boy, it is a magical area. It really is pretty. Okay, so that's Tres Rios. We've got a family event scheduled for next weekend. Mm-hmm. That's really a pretty incredible event. Why don't you just talk about the lineup of what a family could possibly experience if they took the time to get out to Tres Rios next weekend?
Well, I tell you what, first and foremost, when people come out there to this event, it's down on the Gila River, just north of Phoenix International Raceway. You come over the bridge on Avondale Boulevard, you can't miss it, just take a quick left. But the biggest thing that people come away with is certainly newcomers to the event. As they come down there and they see the river, and then the biggest thing I hear is, wow, I didn't even know this was here.
Right.
And for a lot of people in the West Valley, it's so close to them. You know, it's, you know, 10, 15-minute drive, and it's open year-round where people can go down and fish and enjoy that area, enjoy the wildlife down there. So, yeah, really excited for people to come see that. And we've been doing the event down there in the area for, this is, I believe, is our 13th year.
Is there water there all the time?
Yep,
the water is there. And it's the old, our Basin Meridian Wildlife Area is the old 115th Avenue Road alignment that used to go through the river and used to flood at many occasions and stuff, though. That's why they created the Avondale Bridge right there, Avondale Boulevard Bridge. But lots of things for people to do. We have, you know, Sonora.
This is a two-day event next weekend, and I want to shout this from the rooftops. Families, this is a free event. If you want to teach your kids, what are the kids going to have the opportunity to try?
Well,
y'all cover everything in this festival.
Pretty much, yeah. Kids of all ages, so to speak, can come in there and get a taste of archery. We'll have beginning archery, just, you know, get your feet wet and, you know, fling a few arrows and fishing clinic, so you won't need a license for the two-day event. So if you have your own rod and reel and you want to come down and get some expert tips and techniques from our fishing folks that will be down there assisting people.
It's worth the trip just for that.
Yeah, you bet. And we also, you know, if you don't have your own equipment, we do have loaner equipment for the day. We'll have free bait out there. We're going to have canoeing, a few limited kayaks for people to try out. I believe there will be a zip line on Sunday if you want to come try that out. But, you know, we do...
And y'all, I have always, in all the years I've been involved with Wildlife for Tomorrow and this particular event, which is one of our premier events that we sponsor all year long, is that it's family focused. But y'all are keeping it family focused, but you're putting kind of a grown up twist on it this year.
A little bit. Yeah. We're doing a beer garden that is sponsored by Crescent Crown this year, and we're going to do a sunset or evening concert in addition to the live music that we have throughout the day, headlining by Chucky Baby and Sugar in the Mint. And but like I said, you can come down and just relax and enjoy the views and enjoy the fishing and if it strikes you, grab a cold beer too.
Yeah, folks, if y'all are looking for a great family event and it's free, you want to expose the kids to canoeing, kayaking, archery, wall climbing, fishing. You have bird watching instructional tours.
Yeah, Sonora and Audubon will actually take people out, the experts that can go out there and tell you what you're looking at, show you what it is, exciting animals to see. There's always something rare that kind of pops up every year and stuff, though. The common animals that we see every year are the ospreys, the hawks. Occasionally some bald eagles will pass by. But, the Sonoran Audubon group, they know where they can always find barn owls and great horned owls that roost in those areas. So it's just an amazing event, amazing, things to see. I mean, in all likelihood, there's probably more stuff to see than one day. So you may need to come back for both days.
Now, like I said, I've been involved in it for a while, and I don't remember who originally came up with the idea, but the recycled materials fashion show.
Oh yeah,
is a pretty hilarious component of the whole festival.
Luke Air Force Base and their recycling program is actually one that sponsors that, and it's great. These kids get dressed up. There's kids that come back year after year, and they start planning their costume the next day after the festival's over. And anything recyclable material that they can fashion a costume out, and the creativity.
It's hilarious.
It's great, and seeing the smiles on the kids' faces is amazing.
This is March 4th. And 5th at the Tres Rios Nature Environment. It's a Tres Rios Nature Festival that's out in Avondale, right next to Phoenix International Raceway. It's for families. It's for free. You're going to have it's a two-day event, opens at 10, Saturday and Sunday, runs up till 4. What day are y'all going to have the evening sunset and the concert? Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday night, 5 to 7.
Okay.
So we'll take a little bit of break, and we'll have some things to do after, between 4 and 7. There's going to be, the music will still be playing at that point. So
families, get out there. Now, Darren, I want to talk to you while I've got you in here just a little bit. I want to talk to you about not only this Tres Rios environment and the Tres Rios Festival, but, you work all year long to ensure those of us in urban communities can be exposed to wildlife. What is the rest of your year involved in? What's a day in the life of Darren Julian?
Typically, a day in the life of Darren Julian, an urban specialist, is dealing with mostly the conflicts that these animals can create by being in an urban setting. People are a lot of times shocked or surprised that where they live, they got coyotes, they got bobcats, they've got javelina that roam through their neighborhood. And what I do is try to encourage them and find resolution methods for living with these animals. The most of the issues that why those animals are there because of things we've done. So, you know, if we can modify our own behavior, we can modify the animals' behavior. But, you know, hey, you put green grass and golf courses in a desert, what do you think's going to happen, you know?
Well, I can remember 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, in the midst of one of the worst part of the drought, we were trapping bears out of Mesa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the year of 2000, actually, when there was 22 bears that came into the valley. It was a crazy set of circumstances where all of the crops that and food sources that bears typically eat failed. You know, it was a drought issue, and these bears, you know, mostly younger bears just kept getting pushed further and further out of good locations, and they kept going, so they found their way into, you know, Mesa, Fountain Hills. They got in the Salt River. There was actually a bear that was about a quarter mile from ASU's main campus, sleeping under a stairwell in an apartment complex.
So. Is it that hilarious?
Oh, my goodness. The other day, we live about mid-Scottsdale, and I went early in the morning to feed my horses, and it was kind of a little bit dark still, and I thought, hey, somebody's dogs are out. I wonder if I should help gather those dogs up. And the closer I got, it was a herd of javelina just out in the middle of the street, you know. And when I pulled up and stopped, they kind of scurried under some cars and things. But I do know we have neighbors who've tried to call and get rid of them. But you're saying you encourage people just to, you won't remove them, right? Or
Depending on the circumstances, typically when we get involved, it's not a very favorable outcome for the individual animals. But typically we only get involved when we're dealing with a human safety or human health situation. And in those instances, those animals have already crossed the line. So unfortunately, you know, when those animals are that problematic to, you know, attack people or cause those kind of problems, there's really no relocation process for that. So, but there are companies that we license to do the trapping and removal. For javelina, it's kind of an interesting program. We work with Southwest Wildlife to put together herds. So these companies can take individual animals and then get acclimated to a herd. And then we as an agency can put them into areas where we're seeing a decline in populations of javelina.
Well, that's cool.
There was just 2 years ago, our neighbor Pat had a coyote come over her back wall and attack her little poodle dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we see coyotes in our and so we're encountering javelina and coyote on a fairly regular basis. And I mean, we're like,
there's no desert close by.
No,
it's all houses.
Yeah.
Think Scottsdale and Shea.
Well, where we're at here, you know, in central Phoenix, roughly, and stuff. Though, it's kind of, you know, you can see mountains from here at 16th Street in Northern. But you know, we've got coyotes in approaching downtown Phoenix. You know, 3rd Avenue, 3rd Street between, you know, I-10 and McDowell there. And a lot of that there is driven by feral cat issues. But coyotes have figured it out. Coyotes can eat anything, and therefore they can exist anywhere. And they're the more comfortable they get around people, the more, you know, the more
Absolutely.
Impacts they cause. And, you know, so, you know, it's good to haze these animals, be aggressive towards them. Kind of that risk-reward scenario. If there's no risk for them being in there and they're getting a reward of some kind, whether it's bird seed, cat food, dog food, or, unfortunately, small pets, you know, then they're going to take advantage of that. So we need to change those impacts and increase the risk for them being there while we reduce the rewards by keeping our pets safe, by reducing the things that we have control over, by not leaving pet food out, bird seed, that kind of stuff.
Romy, as a young Cub Scout, built a bird feeder and put it in the backyard. It actually turned into a cat feeder.
Of course.
It was just a little bit too low. So we had to remodel the bird feeder. Darren Julian, urban wildlife specialist from Arizona Game and Fish, can't thank you enough for coming in. Folks, I can't encourage you enough. Round up the kids, throw them in the car, get out to Tres Rios for the Nature Festival next weekend, 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. Y'all will have a blast.